severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalm today we will read in unison comes from the 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd,
I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The epistle today comes from the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
If you're able, I invite you to stand in honor of Jesus' words of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry. And he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came back in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
name of Jesus, amen. Those of you who know me well, or maybe just acquaintances, can see by looking, I like food. I like comfort food, like fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy with cooked cabbage or coleslaw. But recently, my wife and I attended a very fancy meal with friends where each part of the meal was paired with a very special wine. Oh, that was spectacular. Many years ago, Gail and I were members of a very fancy country club that I would put against any high-end restaurant I've ever been to anywhere in the world. Anyway, about once a month or so, friends would gather with us and we would dine there with several other couples and have conversations that were great. Our friendships were built stronger. Memories of those days give me great pleasure. Our recent meal was similar to that. Didn't even end at the restaurant, but continued with conversation at the home of our hosts. Another great memory. Is it any wonder that Holy Scripture records images of table fellowship as such great events? The reading today from Isaiah paints a picture of heaven, and the meal described there can only be described as heavenly. And it's not only the food that's heavenly, it's the fellowship and the joy of interpersonal relationships that gives great blessings. Recently, I read a story of a man who became concerned that too many people today live detached and devoid of emotional connections in society. So he decided to do something about it. He reserved 6 dates over the course of a year to host 6 dinners at his home. Posting his menu for each meal, he described via social media what he was offering, and he invited anyone to fill one of the 8 seats at his table for each of the 6 evenings. Within 24 hours, all 6 evenings, all 48 seats were filled with a waiting list for cancellations. The people who came each night didn't know one another. They were from various political and religious and social and cultural backgrounds, ranging in age from 22 to 74. Most evenings, the meal and the after-dinner conversations lasted 3 to 4 hours. And later, reflecting on the experience, the host said there's something refreshing about sitting at a table and breaking bread with a stranger who's willing to let you into his or her personal space. He summarized his year-long experience by saying there are 3 things that he became convinced of after sitting with such an eclectic group of people. It became obvious to him that people are hungry for connection and conversation and community. I believe we have those things here in our family. I believe those 3 elements can be seen in today's text from Isaiah. The prophet shows how much can happen when Jesus brings people together to receive conversation and connection and community. Isaiah was God's chosen messenger to the people of Judah. For many years, times were good, and yet there was a spiritual void. Isaiah addresses the struggles and battles of life, personal as well as political. Isaiah was God's spokesman, announcing the Lord's judgment and calling for repentance. But he also spoke words of comfort and hope. At the beginning of chapter 25, Isaiah is unashamed to speak of his faith. He writes, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. His witness is bold and clear. And yet Isaiah realizes this is not the case with everyone. In fact, as a result of the Lord's judgment, Babylon is to be destroyed for disobedience, idolatry, and rebellion. He writes, for you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin, the foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. After living in exile, God's people would eventually return to their rightful home in Jerusalem. But who doesn't wonder today, especially this year, about some of the trials and challenges that people face? Who doesn't ask, why? Why are there earthquakes and hurricanes and wildfires? Why do tragic accidents happen? Why do people commit suicide? Why are even members of our own families involved in such tragedies? Why is a loved one facing physical illness? Why, O Lord? The answer to that is the effect of sin in our life, resulting in the less than perfect world that we live in. And because of this, trials and tragedy happen. There are times when people experience the consequences of their sinful actions. But that does not mean that there is always a direct correlation as to why something unfortunate or tragic is happening in someone's life. Bobby is not facing the rigors of cancer because of something she has done. People in California have not lost their homes or even their lives for some sinful action in their lives. People in the Southland aren't victims of hurricanes because of their sinful lives. Nevertheless, people are hungry to talk about why. And each time we do, it's a reminder of the opportunity that we have to share the good news. In chapter 25, verse 4, Isaiah reminds us that the Lord is a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress. When was the last time you allowed someone to ask questions about God? When was the last time you listened to them without judgment? When was the last time you allowed someone to express what they were experiencing without feeling the need to defend God or explain his actions? Sometimes people feel like they are in a heap or in ruin. Sometimes we can feel poor and needy. And sometimes what's needed is the opportunity for people to have a conversation to express what they're feeling and thinking and experiencing in this sin-sick life. Such conversations make connections. The Holy Spirit moved Isaiah to use this picture of a feast. The image points to the reality that there are so many things people are hungry and thirsty for in this life. There's so many things we try to fill our lives with that don't ultimately satisfy. Maybe it's trying to fill our life with meaningful occupations or accumulating possessions or fulfilling relationships. And while all of those things are important, they always come up short. No matter how much you eat, comfort food or deliciously prepared delicacies, you always get hungry again after only a short time. These words from Isaiah 25 are pure gospel. As Isaiah describes a lavish feast, He describes verse by verse what the Lord is doing. The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. He will swallow up the covering that is cast over all peoples. He will swallow up death forever. He will wipe tears away from all faces. With one description after another, Isaiah wants his hearers to connect to just how gracious God is to his people. And likewise, on Mount Calvary and by an empty tomb, the Lord of hosts, Jesus himself, gave it all. He held nothing back. He took our place. His atonement covered every affliction. He wipes away our tears. He swallows up death forever. He forgives us our sins. He raises us to new life. He restores us to the Father. He offers us hope. What a message with which to connect where people are in their lives. And such connection creates community, the communion of saints. One of the goals of gospel proclamation is sharing with all people the beauty of God's eternal kingdom. Paul says faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And when the gospel is preached, not only does it bring comfort to the faithful, but it also gathers the people of God together. For God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Isaiah's final verses highlight that the response to this feast of good news for people is to declare, let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. With such a response, a community of believers comes together on earth as it is in heaven. Conversation, connection, community. What an opportunity that the church has today. For too many people feel disconnected. Many are questioning and doubting, and some are skeptical and struggling. But what would happen if the people of God, that's you, would begin to have honest conversations with people, believers and unbelievers, saints and sinners? Consider the connections that could be made for openly sharing the gospel. In doing so, the community of your family, your friends, your neighbors will come to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they will be saved for eternity. Amen. And now the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till he returns again in glory. Amen. I invite you to stand, if you're able, for prayer.
Invited by your word and encouragement, by your promise of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, for the leaders of the church, for all pastors and missionaries, for those preparing for church vocations, and for those considering full-time church service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blessing of marriage and the faithfulness of husbands and wives, for the children entrusted to their care, for the loving care of children who have suffered abuse or neglect, and for those who open their homes to children in foster care, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a welcoming spirit in our congregation, for boldness in our invitation to those without a church home, and for a willingness to serve our neighbor in need and the stranger whose lives cross our paths, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For compassion towards the sick and those who suffer, for our care of those who need our assistance, for the hospitalized and those recovering, and especially for those who we ask for our prayers and those who we now name in our hearts. That God may grant them healing, comfort, strength, and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all elected and appointed civil servants, for all judges, magistrates, for all emergency personnel, for all members of the armed forces, and for all of us as citizens and neighbors, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the dawn of God's eternal day, for an end to death and sorrow, for the comfort of those who grieve, and for the strength of those facing death, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our communion upon the body and blood of the Lord, and for the hearts that burn with desire for the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom without end, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those preparing for baptism, for the catechumens, and for the places where we gather to teach and learn God's word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For gratitude in receiving the Lord's gifts and blessings, for generosity in sharing these resources with those in need, and for the tithes and offerings to support the work of the kingdom in this place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace, that we may hear and heed the invitation of our Lord and joyfully wear the baptismal clothing of his righteousness. Lord, have mercy. All these things, Lord, we pray to you to grant us according to your mercy in Jesus Christ, and to fill us with contentment that, trusting in your gracious will for all things, our hearts may enjoy perfect rest and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. We rejoin each other in singing the Common Doxology Hymn 805.